This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. The Waikato Bay Regional Swiss Pairs has finished, and Hamilton managed to get a couple of people on the podium, which is great.
Well, Nair and Liz were on the podium all day. They led all day. They sat at table one for the entire event. Not on the first round, but they won that, and they never lost a match. Well, they lost one match, but that was right at the end, and they were too far ahead by then.
Congratulations to Liz and Blair Fisher. Runner-ups were Gary Chen, John Wang.
That's right.
And in third place, well, I could say me and Mr. Jones, but it wasn't. It's Jenny and Mr. Jones. Congratulations.
We did manage to beat Blair and Liz in the last round, but they had such a big lead, they could have gone home early, I said to them.
Any big takeouts from the tournament for you, Barry?
Oh, we were delighted with the turnout. Well, we actually had 26 tables, but one table never showed up.
For various reasons, people.
So our director, Nick Saunders, had to rejig things a bit. It was really quite nice. We had 8 tables in one room and 17 in the other. So there was plenty of room, plenty of boards. I think it was pretty well run. Good prize money, and we were sponsored as well. Prizes went down to 8th, and we had a prize for the best intermediate pair and the best restricted pair.
So, can you tell me who took out the restricted?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Would it be Pam and Kevin?
Yeah, that's right. Pam Brown and Kevin Birch won the restricted. And the best intermediate pair, Pam Brown and Kevin Birch actually wound up 10th, so that was a good effort.
Yeah, it was. I sent Kevin a text. Great result, chap.
Best intermediate pair was another victory for Hamilton, Trini Lynn and Catherine Cameron, who were 18.
Of course.
Respectable. They actually won 4 matches out of 7 and wound up 18th. So there you are for an intermediate pair. They were well inside the top half of the field, 18th out of 50.
We played them round 2, I think it was. We lost by a smidgey, a smidgey, or maybe 2 smidgeys. It was pretty close. But we did actually have a draw too, Barry. So we had a couple of wins and a couple of losses. So not too bad. First tournament playing together. Thought it was okay.
I want to know what you had for lunch, because you were definitely better after lunch. Was it protein? Was it carbs? Was it glucose? What did you have?
Me? What did I have? A sausage sandwich, homemade sandwich. Yep.
And that was what did the trick. So you lost every match in the morning, and then it came out in the afternoon, and you won the first one, drew the second one, won the third one. It was only when you started to flag in the last one.
Yeah.
No. You were going quite well up to that point. Definitely, it was definitely a game of two halves for you guys.
That's quite all right. We don't mind that.
So it's really great to see the club rooms full, and our sponsors, AFT Pharmaceuticals, who it's not the first tournament they've sponsored this year either. So they've certainly done a few of them. Good for them. Thank
you
to
Irene. And
it's great
because they give you a free pack of Maxigesic.
We got some vitamin C actually also for coming third. Thank you to Irene, who's a member of our club. We really appreciate her sponsoring. She sponsored the Area Pairs just recently as well. And I believe she might have sponsored our team's event. So great to have a sponsor like that. Really appreciate it.
Also the Cambridge Sixers, they sponsored that. So yeah, a huge, huge corporate association with her family business. So it's really nice. Hey, let's head over to Congress. Before we go, just a huge thank you to Hamilton Bridge Club. We had 2 late entries on Friday night, which we accepted, and we got feedback saying how sometimes other clubs aren't interested in taking late entries. Barry's, he's a great advocate for if you want to play, come and play, and says, yep.
Well, so look, if we can, we'll do whatever, even though we close the entries, you know, please don't start entering after closing date. But if we can possibly squeeze you in, we will not send you home. We're lucky enough to have big enough club rooms. We can do what we can. We always try to let people play. Right. And it did sound like it was appreciated by the pair that were late to enter. So that was good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's go off and have a quick rundown on what's happening with the NZ Congress coming up in November. We've just had a quick look at the numbers in the teams and the pairs. I can tell you the teams in the restricted open currently sitting at 29 teams entered, and in the intermediate there are 30. And juniors, since Bridget last spoke with us, they had zero. They've actually opened up the bookings there and they have one team. So if you're a junior player in the area, they would like to see some more teams entered in that little category of junior.
I would have thought that was quite a good number for the restricted. I mean, a restricted category is, there's not a lot of people in that category
No.
of national master and below, but probably also intermediate and below will be playing in the intermediates. So I would have thought they'd be pretty happy with those numbers for the restricted. In the New Zealand Open pairs, they've got 42 tables. I don't know how that is compares with previous years, but in the teams, they've got 62 teams, which sounds pretty good to me.
Really? 122 tables. What was the number that the venue maxed out on? Wasn't it 115?
Don't know. Don't know about that.
Well, anyway, even if it is, you can always, like they said, the overflow is in the Palmerston North Bridge Club, which is just like a 2 minute walk up the road. 2 minutes, or maybe give it five. 5 minute walk up the road.
Probably a bit disappointing if they had to do that, especially if the weather wasn't great.
True.
For those
Anyway.
players that used to play at Rotorua, reminiscent of the Gandhi Hall where people had to go if they were down the bottom of the field. And I know what that was like because I spent a bit of time in the Gandhi Hall.
Bridge Club pub rooms are pretty nice, pretty funky.
I'm sure they are, but it's just the fact that you've got to get there.
By the way, the restricted open pairs, the entries are at 46 pairs, 64 pairs for the intermediates, Barry. That's pretty good, and eight pairs so far in the juniors.
Yeah, so look, the numbers seem like they're doing okay, which is good. We'll have to have another talk to Bridget before it all happens. Let's hope it's bursting at the seams.
Yeah, that would be great. By the way, I bumped into the boss, Alan Morris, chairman of NZB. He's almost a Waikatoite. Couple of weeks, by the end of the month, he'll be living down this way.
Hopefully, he'll make the world a better place.
They won't have any traffic issues. Our traffic issues are nothing compared to what Auckland is.
Takes you 10 minutes to get across Hamilton.
He also said, don't forget me on the last week of 2025, as you can.
That's the end of his term, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, he'll be saying bon voyage, I guess. He wants to come in, and I don't know whether he's going to give us a debrief, but I'm pretty sure he'll be giving everybody New Year wishes as well. Looking forward to speaking about him and his time at the top on New Zealand Bridge.
Is it 9 years or is it 8 years?
Yeah,
Eight or
that's what
nine?
he said. Nine.
Nine
That's
years.
must be the
I tell you
max.
what, I reckon he will have had enough, and I don't blame him. I think 9 years is probably plenty to be doing that job. So it'll be interesting to see who takes over and, a fresh approach and see how it goes. I think Ellen's done a pretty good job, really.
Yeah, I think he's been an amazing leader and had to deal with a lot of issues that no one else would have had to have dealt with. Let's go for your
You
tip.
got to know when to hold up. So my tip this week, it's not a new one. The tip this week is that the five level is for the opponents, and you might have heard that. So what that means is if you're in a competitive situation, it's one of the toughest things to get right is when the opponents outbid you and you have to decide whether you're going to go to the five level, or maybe they go to the five level and you've got to decide whether you're going to outbid them because your suit's higher. Nothing's right all the time, but as a general rule, you really need something pretty freaky, like a 7-4 or shape or something really
Right, yeah.
strange to want to go on to the five level. If you're not going to go on to the five level, don't forget to double them if you think it's going down. Probably not going to be a great result for you. Or you bid five diamonds and they bid five hearts. You might as well double it on the way out, I reckon.
And did you do any doubling on Saturday?
Oh, yeah, there was a bit of doubling. How many times have I said it, Mariana? I reckon what I'd really like to see is blood on the floor. I've said it time and again, there's not enough blood. So, yep, that's what I want to see. I want to see the axe out. I want to see more doubling. I want to see people going for 800 and 1100, 1400. That's what I want to see.
Oh, funny.
Sometimes, even when you bid to the five level and it's right, well, it's sort of right, and you make your five level contract, you'd be better off doubling them anyway. The other thing is, you might be playing them again next week, and if you smack them up this week and they go for 800, they might be a bit more careful next week.
Is that you, Ethel? Proud. Where do you think you're going? On this avenue. You get your clothes on.
I got a question about when partner has made a takeout double. It's a fairly new partnership. You don't really have a real good understanding of what a response to a takeout double is. I had this 10 count. The opponent said opened up one club, which could be short, and I had a 10 count that had king, queen, small clubs in it, and my partner made a takeout double. I talked myself into that partner wants to see a suit come down because my gut wanted me to bid two no trump, showing 10 to 12 with the holding clubs, and I thought, right, partner wants a suit. My only four-card suit was heart suit, which was jack 10, small. I think it was the four and the three. And I didn't really want to jump with that ridiculous holding, so I actually bid one heart. And I thought, partner's going to bid their suit, and then I'm going to be able to bid two no trumps. Well, guess what? I guessed wrong, and partner passed. So I played him one heart. When they make a takeout double, they're technically asking for a suit, or do you show shape and range? What is the preference?
So when partner makes a double of one club, they should have tolerance for the other three suits usually, and an opening hand or bid. Or they could have what Jenny always calls the big double, where they're going to double and take another bid no matter what you do.
Yeah. Right?
I think if you've got a four-card major, it's really important to show it, because most times if partner's got four cards in the other major, it'll play better than no trumps. Your holding of king, queen to four clubs is not really so great. If the club opener leads a club away from their ace, jack, 10, or whatever they do, and you win the queen, you're in a pretty precarious situation now. All
That's
you've got
right.
left is you're sitting under them. Whereas if you're in hearts, life is usually a lot easier, particularly if partner's got four hearts. Can I just say one thing that you should never, ever do, and it's a common mistake with particularly with beginners, but with not only beginners, a lot of people, and that is to bid one heart. That's a shocker. That says, partner, I have got nothing at all. I'm not interested. Yeah. Don't bid again. That's what it says.
Right.
I've got absolutely diddly squat. I've got what Paddy shot at. You need to bid two hearts. It's not promising the world's fair. And you really should be able to make two hearts with a 10 count and four hearts if partner's got at least three.
Right, so it's quite important to let partner know that you have got more than, I guess, 0 to 5.
No, it's quite a big range is the problem. I think if you've got a decent 8 or 9 count, you should be jumping because it's such a big range. If you need 10 points to jump, that means a one level shows 0 to 9. Well, that's a very big range. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you had 8 or 9 points and a 5-card major, I think you should jump in it. It's probably showing something like 8 to 11, something like that.
Okay.
If you had a decent 12 or 13, you'd probably just bid game.
Right, yep.
Yeah, I mean, you've got opening hand versus an opening hand. So, I mean, I think a jump probably shows, I mean, I'd say 8 to 11. I don't know what's taught in the lessons these days. They probably talk about 10, but if you've got a bit of shape, if you've got 5 hearts and a singleton and 8 points, well, you haven't got 8 points anymore, have you? You've got a singleton and a fit, so you've got more like 11. 3 for your singleton, it probably sort of shows around 10, but I mean, it might be 8 with a little bit of shape. You can't beat a little bit of shape, Mariana.
I should have actually thought more about partner's hand, not my hand. And then I should have.
I don't think that's right. I think you just tell partner what you've got. 2 hearts, I got around 10 points, and I got 4 hearts. What do you think? Partner may not leave you in hearts. You know, maybe they'll bid something else, but if you bid one heart, you can rest assured they're probably going to leave you there because they're thinking, holy heck, partner's bid one heart. They might have nothing at all.
All right. Well, I'll slap on the wrist for that.
Yes,
Could
slap
have
on the
done
wrist,
something better.
kick up the bum.
Yep.
You get the whole works.
FI Akine. Coming up next is Bailiff. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can.
Welcome back, Bailiff,
yeah.
All the way from Denmark. Good to have you back in the country.
Yeah, thank you.
Have you bought any of those pastries that they make, or?
Well, you know me. Do you think if I bought a pastry, I'm likely to carry it around the world or eat it on the spot?
Anyway, while you were away, I was defending this board and Declara called for the four of spades from dummy and my partner played the three of spades. Nothing unusual about that, you'd think, but Declara said, oh, I meant to call for the four of clubs and there was no four of spades in dummy. Okay, you call the director. What do they do?
Well, you've actually managed to find a really obscure thing that I don't think is covered in laws. I'll deal with it first by saying that there's a situation here where if you have played a card because you thought you heard the clearer say something, I know this, in this case, it isn't a thought you heard situation, but let's say you're playing an Australian and it's a difference between the 10 and the king, because well, I've had this one before, is that if you play a card thinking Declare has called for something, then if dummy has also played the same card, you'll be allowed to retract your card. But if you think Declare called for the 10 and in fact it was the king or vice versa, you won't be allowed to retract it if dummy actually played the card that Declare did. Now, this is different, and I don't believe it's covered in the rules, is that you've played a card because you heard Declare a call for a spade, and they have nominated exactly that spade, but you've played a spade. As a director, I would rule, yes, okay, I'm happy that Declare didn't mean to call the four of spades, they meant to call a club, but I don't believe that this defender should be disadvantaged because the Declare made a mistake. So I would allow that three of spades to be retracted and you'd play a different card on the four of clubs lead. Now, could I point to a law that says that? No, but you're not entitled to induce the defenders into making a mistake by calling for a wrong card. So I think that would be fair. There's also a law, which I can't quote you the exact one, which says if anything happens not covered in these laws, the director should apply equity, and I don't think it's equitable to enforce maybe the three of spades to be discarded on the four of clubs if it's a bad idea for that to be done. Well, probably they've got a club to follow suit with, I guess. Was that the case or not?
Oh, yes, they did have a club to follow suit with. Yes,
yeah. Yep. So I don't think it's fair to leave them with a penalty card of the three of spades when they correct it to playing a club. That doesn't sound fair when it's Declara's mistake and calling for the wrong card. That shouldn't wind up disadvantaging the opponent. Don't think I'd have a problem with how I rule, but could I point to the exact rule in the law book? I don't think so.
It sounds like, almost sounds like the three of spades could be like perhaps a minor penalty card. I don't know.
Well, you could say that, but a minor penalty card rule is actually such an unimportant one. I don't think I'd even do that. I'd say, okay, well, no, I'll let you pick it up. But yeah, you can make an argument for that. But that wouldn't affect things either, because a minor penalty card, it only has to be played the first time you want to play a small spade. It would affect nothing really, unless you could win a trick with an eight of spades or something, right? Pretty unlikely, is it?
Indeed.
So there's no difference if they called a spade and the card wasn't there and they said, I meant to call clubs. Do they?
That would be trickier because you see, there is a rule about calling an unintended card from dummy, right? Yep. The fact that they called the four of spades and there wasn't the four of spades in dummy made that rule about unintended clearer. However, if they'd called a small spade and there was a small spade in dummy and they said, oh, no, I meant to call a small club, then the director would have to take the one away from the table and say, well, look, how has the play gone so far? Because I can only let you take that back if it's obvious that playing a small spade would be a completely stupid thing to do that no one would ever think of doing, not just because you're telling me that, because being allowed to take that card back and say, no, I didn't intend it, it's not just on whether the declarer assures the director that's the case, it's got to be obvious.
Right.
And that's tricky because sometimes you can get a grey area about what is obvious and what is not. For instance, if you cross to dummy because you're going to cash an ace there, and then you're going to play that small spade back to your hand. That's not obvious, is it? You've just temporarily forgotten to cash that ace when you got over there. That's not an unintended mistake. That's not paying enough attention and doing it. It's not a slip of the tongue, as it were. So it's a really tricky rule for the director to apply sometimes, because it's got to be, it's such a stupid mistake, you wouldn't actually do it yourself. A good example, let's say you're running a diamond suit and dummy, and you say ace of diamonds, king of diamonds, queen of diamonds, and then for some reason you say jack of clubs. That happens to be a jack of clubs that's the opponent's suit, and you were obviously meaning to say jack of diamonds, but for some reason you had a slip of the tongue and said clubs.
Yeah.
Well, you'd allow that. But certainly it's a rule that, ooh, if it comes up, you've got to hope that it's going to be a clear one, because you can get into a grey area.
And we don't want that.
On a different topic, did you have the director called very often in Denmark? Anything interesting happen while you were over there?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm probably one of the few people who managed to lead out of turn in Denmark. I actually led out of turn and then lifted the screen myself. It wouldn't have actually been a problem if it had been my screen mate that lifted the screen. There would be a different rule with screens, but there you go. So I managed to do that.
Congratulations.
Leon had an interesting one that was unfortunate. Hopefully this will be very good for Bridge, that there was a camera crew there following Leon Meyer playing with Jan Cormack in the mixed team. Got a bit of media coverage because it was, I don't want to say Jan's very old, but she's certainly older than I am. And Leon's a bit younger than I am. And they were the extremes of the age. And that gained some attention from someone in New Zealand sent a camera crew. And Leon did something unfortunate. He claimed, and they looked a bit nonplussed. And instead of calling the director, as he should have done, he played on. And if you claim and then play on, the director's not interested in the original claim because you've played on. So you don't do that. Now, I have seen when someone's claimed and then played on, because they see they've got all the tricks, they get bored and accidentally play the wrong card. And I've seen them lose out because of that. That's certainly happened. But Leon did something more unusual. Someone showed out on a couple of tricks. He said, oh, he forgot that they had already discarded earlier and that this suit wasn't breaking that badly. And he said, oh, well, I'll have to give you a club then. So he made a good claim, didn't call the director, played on, and then made a bad claim. And the director's quite rightly said, well, yeah, you played on. We're not interested in that first claim. So he lost out. The answer is, if you make a claim, don't play on, because if you're a defender and you're saying, yo, I've got a trump, I hope he doesn't draw it. Well, if the clearer suddenly remembers and draws it, you won't be getting it back. You won't be able to call the director and say he claimed and didn't mention it, because you played on. And the same thing, if you're a declarer and you make a good claim, you don't play on, because if you accidentally pull the wrong card, I can't recall anyone making a good claim and then making a bad claim. But if you do that, they're not interested in that first claim. So I'm a bit harsh in that I say, if you make a claim and then you play on, someone at the table is not being clever. If the opponent's making a claim and you think there's a problem with it, call the director. If you've made a claim and it's good, call the director. Don't make a claim and play on. And as you can see, it happens at international levels. So if it's in the local junior tournament, I'm sure it happens far more often, but it shouldn't.
That's very entertaining. I hope they got it all on video.
Probably say, oh, please don't use that. But
well, the camera crew actually had me, and I had to say, well, you know, look, this is what happens about claims, because I'm there, people wouldn't have known what the people they were broadcasting to wouldn't have known what a claim was. So I had to describe a claim and then say, da 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 da, and say, this was the right ruling. It was unfortunate. It was expensive, but that was the rule.
So what was the highlight of your trip, Patrick?
I can't say that it was a highlight, to be honest. So, no, it was a very interesting country to visit, and the highlight was certainly not the bread.
I heard the highlight was that a cup of coffee was $15, so that was correct.
I certainly didn't pay $15 for a cup of coffee, but then maybe Julie did. She's certainly more of a coffee drinker than I am. But part of the reason for the higher prices there is that, you know how our GST is 15%?
Yeah.
Denmark, theirs is 30%.
Oh, my
God. We stayed at a very nice upstairs section of their house, and we had a very nice afternoon tea with them at one stage. and had a chat. Sounds like their income tax is about the same as us, but maybe slightly less, I don't know. But the GST is a lot bigger. I guess Denmark, being sort of situated the way it is on several islands, there's quite a few bridges and things. Maybe they need a higher tax take for the infrastructure. I don't know. So there was nothing wrong with the infrastructure. It was good. Travelling around Denmark and whatever was very good. We did go to Legoland. We arrived about 3 days earlier than it started. And so we went to Legoland, and I was really amazed that the town of Billund, about the size of Cambridge, I think, it's certainly not a very big place, but because it's got Legoland next to it, it's got an international airport with lots of planes. Can you imagine Cambridge having an international airport? Because of all the people that visit Legoland.
Wow.
So what you've really told me there is that the coffee was only $11 something plus GST.
That's right.
Crazy.
Thanks for that. You learn something every day on the Judge Julie section.
Well, thank you, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Well, you might catch up with the judge. She's back this week.
Oh, right. Can do.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. He's really awesome, yeah.
Well, it's the end of this week's show, people.
Coming up this weekend, Canterbury Regional Pairs 10A. And I noticed there's a couple of intermediate pairs tournaments booked out. Wanaka Intermediate Pairs and Matamata Intermediate Pairs, both booked out. That's good for intermediate bridge.
That's right. And there is a restricted at Rotorua, so if you still want to enter, quickly get your entry in. They could do with an influx of numbers. That's about it from us this week. See you at the table.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.